Amen. Have you ever just stopped for a moment just to look back on all of the great things that God's done for you? Hassan, this morning we always say, has anybody got a word of praise? And he always says, God woke me up this morning. Amen. That's a blessing. And he gave us an opportunity to be able to come to his house this morning. That's a blessing. We had the health and the strength to get here. And I trust we had a desire to be here today. Amen. And that's what we're praying for. And we've got some folks that are not here with us today. Children's Home is traveling this morning, which, so you really should see about three times the number in the choir, but they're on the road. But they'll be back this evening. Pray the Lord to keep them safe. Brother Brian, I believe, is speaking somewhere this morning, so please pray for them. But it's great to be in his house. Amen. God's a good God. He's been good to us, but we've got a lot to be thankful for. So let's go to him in a word of prayer and just ask him to be here with us today. Lord, we do love you and we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be in your house. Lord, that's not just words. We truly are thankful. You've been so good to us. Lord, many are unable to be here today because of sickness or other means that have kept them from being able to be in your house today. And Lord, we pray that you would touch them in a very special way. Lord, I pray that you would be at the Children's Home as they travel today. Lord, I pray that you'd give them a great service there. Lord, Jackson's with the group today, and they're traveling, and they're somewhere playing and singing. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with Second Coming, and Lord, use them. But Lord, here at Calvary today, Lord, I pray that you'd use the choir, accept our worship and our praise. Lord, maybe we'll sing a few songs that might just be uplifting to someone. That would be our desire. But Lord, we pray most of all that your Holy Spirit would so touch us here today. Lord, in a few moments when I open your word, Lord, I pray that you would just give me the liberty to say, Lord, what you've laid upon my heart. I believe you have a message for us today. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to be able to deliver it in a way that you'd be pleased and honored and lifted up. Lord, be with us now. Lord, as we, Lord, go through this service, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would touch us, draw us, Lord. If there is someone that is here today at Calvary that has never accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord, what a great day it would be for them to come to know the Lord of their life. And Lord, I pray that you touch them, draw them, Lord, to salvation. Be in this service, and we'll praise you, and we'll thank you for it all. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You pray for us this morning. We're going to sing a few songs. We're going to go back and pull out a song that says, your cries have awoken the Master. Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. But Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed all night, because you held on with all your might, now your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice, lift your hands, it's time to rejoice, now your cries have awoken. Hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. But seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now. because you pray. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep, but try to be patient, 'cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, all deep held on with all your might, child, your cries have awoken. The Master, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Down your cries, have awoken the Master.
Sing chorus, choir.
Because you pray. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Turn with me over to page number, I believe it's 393. Page 393. Let's all stand. Everyone sing together this morning a song that says, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be." Amen. Everyone sing now.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare.
Again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord. It's great to see the Teagues back with us this morning.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glad the Lord's still in the healing business. Amen. And we are thankful and so glad to see you all here this morning. And again, we've got some folks that are going through some difficult times. Miss Claudia, it's great to see you here this morning. I know you have some physical struggles. But the Lord, he is good. Amen. And it's great to see you here today. What a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. And do please pray for the service. Pray for the church. The Lord knows exactly what we need. And I have the opportunity to be able to share the word with you this morning. I'm excited about that. And you just pray for me this morning
as well as this evening. We'll have the service downstairs at 5 o'clock, of course. Amanda, I'm going to lean on you for a second and say, I don't know what to do about the snacks, but you please, if you'll please help out. I know y'all just been pitching in. Everybody bring something. Is that right? Something like that? All right, just bring a few little treats to share. I won't keep you very long tonight. I'll share a little bit about that here in a few moments in the message. But you come tonight at 5 o'clock. No choir practice this evening. Again, children's home's traveling. Not real sure exactly what time they might be coming back in this evening. But they should be back tonight for the service. So 5 o'clock this evening. Also, please remember that September the 7th is going to be homecoming here at Calvary. Brother Snyder will be here, be speaking for us, and just make that a matter of prayer. Go ahead and put that in your calendar. It's right around the corner. It's about 4 weeks away, I believe. So please make that a matter of prayer. Invite some folks and come, and it'll be a great time here in the house of the Lord on September the 7th. We'll have service. It'll start at 10:30. There'll be no Bible study that morning, and we won't have evening service. So come and enjoy just a great day in the house of the Lord, September the 7th, here at Calvary for homecoming. So please remember that. Let's go to Him again in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service this morning. And I pray the Lord would just intervene in hearts, change us. When we leave this place today and say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord today. Brother Don, would you lead us in the Lord in a word of prayer? be a sanctuary. And it said, pure and holy, tried and true. So good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. And I shared a little bit this morning in choir practice as well as in the service. I believe the Lord has given me a message that I hope will be helpful to us today. I don't know about you, but I just need to hear from heaven. Amen? And if you will take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. And we'll be looking in chapter number 42. Genesis 42. I want to share a thought with you this morning. I don't plan on keeping you too long. Every time I say that, it's too long. So you pray for us this morning. I just want to try and be obedient to the Lord and try and be a help to the church. But I want to talk to you with this thought in mind this morning, and that is this. It's time to move. It's time to move. It's great to have my beautiful bride with me here this morning. And we have been at a place over, I don't know, several months now that we have been moving toward the thought of maybe it's time to move. We got a big old house, and I'm not getting any younger. I won't say anything about my better half, but I'm not getting any younger. And the more house you have, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the more you have to clean. And the older you get, the worse it gets. We also have stairs. There's 16 of them. I've counted them because my fear is, Brother Don, that one day I'm going to catch all of those on the way down. I don't like stairs. I don't like going down. I certainly don't like climbing up. Last September, I'm looking at close to a year anniversary of the back surgery. I couldn't even get upstairs to take a shower. It was awful. But I did bathe, y'all relax. When I came in on Sundays, I was somewhat clean, best I could. But we're looking to find something small and downsize because it's time to move. So you know anybody anywhere between here and Alabama, close to Interstate 20, that's got a little two-bedroom, two-bath house, you put it on me and I'll sure go check it out. But it is time to move. I have found, I'll be real honest with you, what time I'm not working and what time I'm not asleep, I find myself, anybody know what Zillow is? And I look on Zillow and Realtor.com and all those other things, Cracker Barrel, I don't, anything I can find, look at on trying to find a house. But, and I look at those, and I find a lot of things on there, but when I look them up, they have all, you pull the pictures up, and man, those, they make those things look so good. But I've noticed that a lot of times, and in the very beginning of this little journey, I'd tell Terry, hey, I found something, take a look at this, and I'd send it to her, and she'd look at it, and she'd say, wow, I like that. And I'd call the agent and say, hey, can you meet us over there tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock? We found something. And I know she's thinking, oh, good grief. But she would go over there and she'd show us a house and we'd walk in and be like, this don't look exactly the way it looked in the pictures. And the description of it sure doesn't match. It's bad when you go down. Anybody remember that movie years ago, I won't even call the name of it, where they was out there playing banjo on the porch, you know? And it gets a little scary sometimes. I don't want to move somewhere, Brother Larry, where I'd be afraid to leave my bride at home just long enough to go to the store. Amen? So you get out there and you think, this is not exactly what we had in mind. It's not what we thought it was going to be. So I've gotten a little smarter about that. I still look a lot. And I will venture out sometimes, and we do what we call a drive-by. Now, I'm law enforcement, so it's not drive-by shooting. Don't get excited, okay? But we do what's called a drive-by. That means we find the house, we find the area, and we go out there and we drive around in the area to see what it looks like on the outside. So far, we've not found one that we needed to see on the inside by doing a drive-by. Because, again, they paint a nice picture. They can describe everything so nice and clean and pretty and everything just wonderful. And you get out there and it's like, nope, turn around, back to the house. One Friday morning, we share a vehicle. We both work at the same place, pretty much the same hours. I took a Friday off and my bride was going to work. So I dropped her off that morning about 7 o'clock. I headed to this new house that I had found just the day before. I didn't even tell her anything about it. I was going to go do the drive-by myself because this is a tiring process. Anybody that has ever looked for a home, it is a tiring process. But I drove out there that morning, I found it, and I said, Lord, thank you. It was just perfect. The description matched everything, and it even looked better than I thought it would have that I saw on the internet. I got out and I walked around the house. You know what I did. I walked around that thing 7 times praying, Lord, help, you know. And I said, Lord, if this is the house, only you know. Do you believe? I ran into somebody at work on Friday. She said, I'm going out and looking for a house. I said, yeah, I went and looked at one the other day. It wasn't what it was cracked up to be. She said, but God has a house for you somewhere. Hello? Do you believe that? God's got a plan. Amen. The problem is sometimes is we fail to fit. I don't mean to spit. We fail to fit in the plan, you see. But I drove out there that morning, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, if this is a place for us, would you please work it out? Only you can. Only you know. But, Lord, it seems to be the right one. That afternoon, I got back home, and I called the agent that had the house out there, and I said, would you be so kind as to show us that house tomorrow? I want my wife to see it. I've already driven out there and saw it. He said, I'll be glad to meet you out there at 11 o'clock in the morning. So I did. We drove out there. Well, let me rephrase. I got up that morning and I pulled up the internet for the MapQuest. I was going to put the address in so we could head out that way to be there at 11. And when I pulled up the house to get the address off of it, it said, under contract. This is a mistake. It's got to be, Ceylon. I called that guy back. I said, hey, this is Mr. Clayton. I talked to you just last night, late last night. He said, sir, I've been meaning to call you this morning. He said, you're welcome to come on out here and look. He said, but about 9:30 last night, I got a contract on that house. I'm sorry. But come on out. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You think I'm going to drive way out there to show my wife this house that's already under contract? Hey, I'm dumb, but I ain't stupid. It broke my heart. And again, we've looked at some things since then. It is a hard process, but we do know this, that it's time to move. So what we've got to do is pray, Lord, send us to the place where you'd have us to be. He's got a plan. Amen. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 42, I'm just going to read a few verses this morning. You owe it to yourself to go back and read all of chapter 42 and chapter 43 of the book of Genesis. It is a great, great read. It is good for us. It would be good for you to go back and read it sometime. Genesis chapter number 42, starting with verse number 1. It says, now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. That's all we're going to read for now. The famine. I got 2 points for you. You know, you always got to have 3 points and a poem and then a closing and all that. Just 2 points, so hang in there. All right? Point number one. Is this. I want us to consider what was read in that final verse when it said that there was famine in the land of Canaan. The word famine, when we hear the word, we immediately think of a lack of food. Hold on to that thought. I looked it up. I want to see just exactly what it said in the dictionary, just to see what famine truly meant. It means an extreme food shortage. It is primarily defined as a lack of food, notice this, leading to starvation and death. Famines in biblical accounts can be depicted as a form of divine punishment for disobedience or wickedness. Jesus himself predicted famines. He said that as a sign of the times that would precede the end of the world, that there would be famines in the land. Both Abraham and Isaac faced famine, prompting them to seek refuge in Egypt. A severe famine in Egypt allowed Joseph to rise to power and to save his family. And that's what you'll find in the readings of chapter 42 and chapter 43 in Genesis. The prophets Elijah and Elisha both experienced and ministered during times of a famine. A famine is simply a test of our faith. Famine is a test of faith of individuals. Famine is a test of faith to churches. You say, well, we're not starving. We have plenty. Famine is a test of faith to communities. It challenges us to rely on God. The prophet Amos speaks of a spiritual famine. The lack of God's word and spiritual guidance, which could be a severe famine. Famines can serve as a wake-up call, prompting people to turn away from their sin and to seek God's favor. Famine can showcase God's power to provide and to protect his people. Famine. A famine highlights the importance of spiritual nourishment and the dangers of neglecting God's word. In Genesis chapter number 42, Jacob has told his sons, you will not defeat the famine. You notice back in the first couple of verses, just sitting here and looking at each other, you won't be able to defeat it. Let's say today, perhaps, peradventure, if you will, we take a moment and say, Lord, what are you trying to say to me this morning? I mean, we come in and we all sit around and look at each other, don't we? A lot of times we come in, look and say, well, do you see what she had on this morning? Those shoes didn't even match that dress. But we come in and we get all dressed up and we put our cologne on and we want to look our best, be our best. We come in, we even put a smile on our face, don't we? Everybody smile. I remember this fellow said, I want to see the teeth of those that got in them and the gums of those that don't. See, you look so much better when you smile. We come in, though, and we smile, but way down deep, we're hurting and we're spiritually starving to death on the inside. A famine. Now, I told CJ, I said, you going to be upstairs in the sanctuary this morning or you going to be downstairs? CJ, if you're listening, here's one for you, pal. Because I was going to use him. I know I can use him, talk about him. He don't care. Hey, he's got my daughter. I mean, what else could you want, you know, and my four precious grandchildren. If CJ was up here, I was going to say, CJ, stand up. Because you can look at CJ and you can see that he hasn't missed many meals. I'll be honest with you. I look at myself in the mirror and I think, hey, you ain't missed many meals either. We have food to eat. You come back tonight, and who knows? Miss Yvonne might bake some more of them good cookies. Last week we had, we had butterscotch cookies. Lord have mercy. I thought them tea cakes was good till I got a hold of one of them butterscotch cookies. You know, one of the main reasons that we had such a crowd last week is Uncle Brian said that Melita's going to bring her famous Melita brownies. Anybody get one of those? There ain't a one of us that didn't get one or two. I took two home with me. Amen. Terry said, make sure you get one of those Melita brownies and bring that thing home to me. We're not missing any meals. And I don't know about you, but I went out and looked at my grass yesterday, and we haven't been involved in a drought either. That grass is growing, ain't Larry? That's a lot of grass to cut over there. So we're not starving physically, and we're certainly not living in a drought. But I wonder this morning, spiritually speaking, could it be that we are in a spiritual famine? And if so, then what do we do? Do we just sit around and look at each other at Calvary until, I'm going to be honest, until Calvary is no more? It seems to be the way that many churches are going. We've got a little Methodist church. We pass by it every Sunday morning. I pass by it a lot. It's over on Bright Star Road. And they put a for sale sign up out there in the front yard. And it's sold. No more Methodist church on Bright Star. Are we just going to sit here and just look at each other until Calvary is no more? I think the title this morning says it all. It's time to move. We speak often of the way things used to be here at Calvary. You remember times? I'm going to reminisce a little bit. I'm probably the one that's at fault with this the most, because I remember. I don't remember a lot, but I remember great times at Calvary. And a lot of people will say, I'm so sick and tired of hearing you talking about the way things used to be at Calvary. Sometimes I think we could go forward if we just go back a little bit. Amen. But I think about it a lot, Brother Don. I think about the times of Jubilee. Monday was always Floyd Road. Sunday, Brother T.D. would have come in on Sunday morning. Brother Snyder would have preached. Brother Sammy would have preached on Sunday night. I think I'm pretty close. And Brother Larry, by Monday, we knew, if we haven't already, we need to step into Brother Ceylon's class and pull chairs out. I'm serious. Some of y'all looking at me like, what in the world are you talking about? I ain't never seen such. But most of us remember pulling chairs out. I don't mean just a few chairs down the center. I mean, we'd have chairs on both, am I right? On both sides? I know, because I was one dragging. We drug all these chairs out and had one in every single place that we could possibly put a chair. Floyd Rhodes Choir, and we're not the only church. Floyd Rhodes Choir would come up here on Monday night, and there wouldn't be enough chairs up there for them to sit in. And then we would join them. We'd come up here and fill up this area of the pulpit, and we'd sing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And then everybody come in. Sinners plunged beneath that flood. Brother Alan Barrett was standing right there, and he'd say, come on, choir. Lose all their guilt. By then, I'm talking to you this morning, that this church would be rocking and rolling. Amen. Don't take that the wrong way. I mean, the Holy Spirit would have come into this place, and it would be electric in the house of God. Am I right? We've been going here for about 30 years. I know, I don't even look like I'm 30. Anyway, I'm double that now, Miss Claudia. Don't laugh, it's not that funny. But we would bring Robbie in. Are you in the same seat where we would normally sit? Or are you a little back? That's been our pew for a long time right there. Robbie was 2. And he had a pacifier in that mouth, am I right? Most of the time. And he could carry on a conversation with you with that thing in there. But we would come in, and we didn't come in like this. I wonder how much longer it's going to be before we get out of here. No. You remember the nights that Bill Broom would come and bring his choir? Lord have mercy. But I'll never forget a night. I reminisce of this often, Ceylon. It was on a Thursday night. Brother Lamar Rackley, we talked about him this morning on the way to church. Brother Lamar Rackley was preaching on that Thursday night. There's some folks in this building here today that got saved that night in this altar. Robbie wasn't 2 anymore. He was probably, I don't know, 20, maybe. This place was so filled with the Holy Spirit, Brother Larry, that I'm talking about, people would come in groves. We'd sing a song. There'd be a group of people over here, and one or two people over here would get saved. I remember I was sitting right there, Ceylon, where you are. Robbie was sitting right back there. And he turned and he looked at his mom. And he got up. And he walked down this aisle. And he knelt right there, and I met him there, and I introduced him to the Savior in this altar. I don't know how many people were saved that night, but honestly, and we say, Lord, where in the world are you? It's not that God has changed. It's that we have. Hey, he didn't leave us. We left him. What happened? We sat around and we asked each other the question, and we do is just as it said in those verses. You can't just keep sitting here and looking at one another. It's time to move. But I'll never forget those days. I remember times we talk about this just a week or so ago. You remember this, Brother Snyder? I mean, he'd be just pouring his heart out, tears running down his face, and then you'd see this. Remember those days? He'd say, I don't know what to do next. Many times he'd look over at me and Terry and Jackie, and we'd come up here and we'd sing. And he'd say, sing it again. I don't have a handkerchief this morning. If I had one, you know what he'd be doing? He'd be up here like this. Am I right? We use the SOS system in those days. You know what that meant? Scrunch over some. Because this place was packed. There was nowhere else to put anyone. Souls were saved. The church was in a spirit of revival. But now, we sit here this morning. I guarantee you, if everybody in this building this morning just took a pew, we'd all be able to lay down in it. You say, boy, you just came this way to be so encouraging. No, I am. I'm trying my best to encourage you that it's time to move. We sit here and we look around. If you compare the two, it looks a lot like famine to me. So it's time to move. You say, Brother Allen says we need to move churches. No, that's not what Brother Allen's saying at all. Don't you dare go out of here and say that. What I'm saying is the church needs to come, and the church needs to move. Oh, yeah. It's time to move. I'm saying the church needs to move. You say, well, Brother Allen, how are we going to move? What do we need to do? Do we need to pray? Absolutely, we need to pray. If we've ever prayed, it's time to pray. But you've got to take prayer to another step. You know, we get people and the whole place is full. We try our best just to praise, and that's great. We need to praise. He's worthy of our praise. He will be here if we will praise Him. But we've got to do more than just praise. We've even got to do more than just pray. We've got to get to the point to where we will put some shoe leather on the prayers. It's time to move. We need to put some shoe leather on the prayers. If you will come back with me tonight, I'm going to give you about 15 or 20 minutes. I promise you, about 15 or 20 minutes. And I'm going to try my best to give you a recipe for revival. You say, revival? We're not having revival. Oh, we need one. We need God to revive this church. Amen. Lord knows we need a revival. If we just continue to do the same things that we've been doing, we're going to continue to get the same what? Results. I believe I've heard that before too, haven't you? If we continue to do the same things the way we've been doing them, we will continue to get the same results. Folks, we are in a famine, and it's time that we take action. We can sit around and we can look at each other. We can talk about it with each other. You ever heard this phrase though? But action speaks louder than words. Y'all pretty smart. We know what to do. We've heard it most of our lives. But now it's time to move. We want God to perform a miracle, don't we? Absolutely we do. We want God to perform a miracle. But here lies the problem. There is still some responsibility on our part in order to have a miracle. We can't sit at home and say, Lord, we need a miracle. We need a job. You can get down on your knees at home and pray and say, Lord, please give me a job. We got some needs that need to be met around here. We need you to do something. Lord, give me a job. And then grab hold of the remote control and sit down and watch TV all day. Am I right? Hey, get yourself up and go out there somewhere and find yourself somewhere to work, amen? I don't know why I said that. It fits. That's true, isn't it not? Is it not? We don't need to just pray. We've got to put some shoe leather on our prayers. We've got to move. Jacob said, if you don't move, then you're going to die. And we're just going to sit here and look at each other. And are we going to be the ones that sit and look and watch until Calvary dies? You say, well, how in the world could God let us die when we are His children? Because we don't move. We can't say that God has failed us, the church, the body of born-again believers, when we fail to move. Brother Snyder said this for years, and you'll recall this. It's time to move to the next. See, y'all do listen. Y'all catch on to this thing. How many times have we heard that precious man of God stand up in this pulpit and beg us to get to the point and to the place, Elon, to where we can move to the next level? God hasn't changed. He still wants us to move to the next level. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So the God that was here with us in those Jubilee services, Brother Allen, you're telling me that he could still be here today? He is here. But he wants us to do something, Brother Johnny, and that is to move. It's time that we be about the Father's business. I love the story of the prodigal son. I'm going to very quickly, I'll be done here in just a minute, but I want to very quickly remind you of that story. It says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods, the inheritance, if you will, that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered it all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty, there's that word again, famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks. He was eating the same things that the pig ate, that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But I want you to notice this. And then the Bible says in verse number 17, but when he came to himself. Maybe we've just been in this slumber. Maybe we've just been walking through this life. But maybe this morning the Lord speak to us, and maybe we could say, you know what? But I remember on that Sunday morning when Brother Allen was saying I need to move, that I came to myself. And I realized. And if you'll go on and you'll read that story, you'll find that he came to himself and he said, I'm going to go back to my father because he's got plenty. Oh, if I could just go back and I could just be a servant in his house, because I've wasted, I've done all these things wrong, I'm a sinner. But if I could just get back to the Father, and you know the story, can't you just see the Father every morning looking out across that dusty path, looking down that way for his boy to come back? Every morning he'd go out there and he'd look, nothing. He'd go back to bed, he'd get up the next morning, he'd go out there and he'd look, waiting for his boy to come in. Then one morning, bless the Lord, he looked out there, and probably the only thing he saw topping that crest of the ridge was the top of his little boy's head. And his boy come walking down through there, and it did, and you know, his boy done decided, hey, I'm just going to go back to my father and tell him how sorry I am, what a mess I've made, and see if he'll just make me one of his servants. But the Bible says that the father ran toward his son. And when he got to him, Brother Don, he fell on him and he kissed his neck. And he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Would you just make me one of your hired servants? Hey, you know what he said, Glenda? He said, hey, y'all, bring me the robe and put it around him. And bring a ring and put it on his finger. And go over there, Brother Ceylon, and kill the fatted calf. Because my son, who was lost, is now found. Amen. I don't know, that just excites me. I don't know what it does for you. But he came to himself. He was longing for the son's return. How about the woman that had the issue of blood? And she'd been praying, what, 12 years or so? And she'd been to all the doctors. She had done everything that she could do. But she heard that Jesus, if you allow me to paraphrase a little bit, she heard that Jesus was coming to the town. So she went to where he was going to be. The crowd was so great that she couldn't even get to where he was. But the Bible says that she got down on her knees and she crawled up under that crowd to get where he was. And she reached out, and the only thing she could do was just reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And he stopped and he looked at his disciples. He said, who touched me? They said, Lord, are you kidding me? In this crowd of people, you want us to know who touched you? How in the world would we know? And he said, virtue has left my body. Somebody touch me. I'm glad for the day that I touch the Lord. Amen. Glad for that day. He said, somebody touch me. You see, she had I said all that to say this. She had a part to play in her miracle. She could have still been sitting back here on the couch. Oh, Lord, I'll just die like this. I'll never be able to get healed. But she played a part in her miracle. You know what she did? She says, time to move. It's time to move. The prodigal son said, it's time for me to get out of the pig pen, and it's time for me to move. We may have to move to get to Jesus. We may have to move to get to our miracle. We've got to realize sometimes that God will use a famine to use us. Now, question for you. Is there anybody in this building this morning that say, you know what? I've been through a storm. I've had troubles. I've had heartaches. I could share many of the storms that Terry and I have been through down through the years, but I won't take the time to do that this morning. But I have seen God work miracles in what I thought was seemingly a disaster. Anybody in this building ever lost your job? Hello? You ever thought, Lord, what in the world are we going to do now? But sometimes it takes things like that. It takes a famine in our family. But do you think for one second that any of those problems that we go through has taken God by surprise? You ever had any problems in your family? Everybody's got an old cousin Joe, don't they? Or well, you can call your cousin whatever you want to, I don't know. Or old Aunt Bertha or somebody that comes to the homecomings and comes to family gatherings. And when you see them coming, you know to watch out of the corner of your eye because they're trouble. Yeah, I know. You thought about who it was right there, didn't you? We all have them. But I wonder if God, does it take him by surprise that we've got issues in our family? Not for a minute. Well, here's one for you. I'm going to bring it home. Do you believe this morning that it has taken God by surprise that Calvary Baptist Church is where she is today? Do you think he woke up this morning, scratched his head and said, oh my goodness, they don't have a pastor over there at Calvary. I wonder what in the world's happened. I told you, I'm going to get right down where the rubber meets the road. If it didn't take God by surprise, it may have taken some of us by surprise, but if it didn't take God by surprise, why in the world would we not just go to him and not only pray, but put some shoe leather on our prayers and say, Lord, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You say, I'm getting old and I'm tired. Me too. But if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands and my feet. Hey, are you willing to make a move for God? I'll be honest with you. This morning I started to do it right in the middle of choir practice. I started to go right over here and lead this bunch that's going to soon be in the choir. You say, you've lost your mind. We didn't have, eight people in the choir this morning. And I started to go, Brother Larry, over here on this side and lead this group that's going to soon be in the choir. Y'all don't get rid of me yet because I got a choir to work on. Amen. And wouldn't it be something this morning? I started this morning, Brother Ceylon, to go and grab me a chair and pull it down this aisle all the way to the end. So somebody one day will have somewhere to sit. Hey, if God is not finished using Calvary, now if he's finished using us, we might as well just turn the lights off and go to the house. We'll find this creek bank somewhere and go fishing. But if you believe, if we will move, that God will work, it's time to move. Amen? Because none of this, Brother Larry, I got two Larrys, Brother Larry and Brother Larry. Hey, none of this has taken God by surprise. He knew and he knows the outcome before we ever knew the beginning. It will put you in a place to where you can get to better. Now, the road to better, very quickly, I'm almost done. The road to better you're going to come across some bumps in the roads. Anybody ever travel down Interstate 20 and it be just you see all these signs that say road construction ahead, road construction 1,000 feet, and cars are beginning to back up everywhere. The road is rough, it's terrible, potholes in it. There's a lot of roads like that in Georgia, amen? But you'll be traveling down through there, and they're you realize, wait a minute, they're working and they're paving on the road. And you're dodging bumps and dodging this and dodging that. And then you get to this place that said road construction ended. And all of a sudden, it's like black, fresh pavement, painted. And it just you're just traveling along. It's just smooth as silk. Amen? Hey, God's got a smooth as silk road out there for us somewhere. But there's going to be some bumps in the road before we get there. You can't get to better until you cross through some bumps in the road. God's got something better in store for us, but we're going to have to face some bumps. Sometimes we won't move because we're just comfortable. Oh, I'll just come and I'll sit and I'll shake hands with the people I know. And if somebody was to come in, I'll smile at them and tell them thank you for coming to Calvary. And just go home. And then what? Spiritually starve to death. I won't take the time, but point number two is about the family. If you'll go back and you'll read, you'll find that there was a famine in Canaan. There's also a family in Jacob's house. And he was going to send his boys down there, but he kept one boy back, and his name was Benjamin. Y'all remember Benjamin? Benjamin was the youngest. And he had kept him back as a reminder of what he had in his family. The culture of his family comes from Rachel, who was barren, but God gave two sons, Joseph and Benjamin, to Jacob. He was holding on to Benjamin so tight, he wouldn't even let him go down there with his brothers because he had already seen some of the outcome of what had taken place with his brothers. I wonder this morning, what are we holding on to? What is keeping us from moving to the next level? You say, oh, we heard that all those years. But now look where we are. Look where we are now. We've got to wake up and realize that God wants us to move. God wants us to move. We've been through a lot. There's a song that says, I've had many tears and sorrow. Brother Randy, if you'll come. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation. That my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. You may be here this morning, and maybe you need to make the greatest move that you would ever make. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, then you don't have an idea of what I'm talking about. But has the Lord ever spoken to you and said, hey, you need to come to me. I will save you if you'll just come to me. People sometimes they let fear grip them. They're embarrassment grip them. They don't want to step out. They don't want to come. They don't want to be embarrassed. But this morning, would you make the move to Jesus? It'll be the greatest move you ever make. We talked about it last week. The greatest decision I ever made is when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. If you'll stand with me this morning, if you've never been saved, every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just step out and come down? Somebody will take the Word of God and show you how you too can can be saved. Maybe this morning you're burdened for the church, and you're truly, your heart says, I want us to be what God would have us to be. I want to see this church flourish. I want to see this church have revival. I want to see the Spirit move in this place. I want my children and my grandchildren to see what it's like to be able to sit in a church to where they can feel the Holy Spirit and see people saved and the church revived. If that is your heart this morning, would you come? If you're lost, come. If the Lord's speaking to you, come. If you just want to ask the Lord to do something in your life, in your family, would you please come? Brother Randy's going to sing that song that we love so much. It simply says, He didn't throw the clay away. Would you come?
Empty and broken, I came back to Him. Vessel unworthy.
Amen.
And so scarred by sin. But He did not despair. He started over again.
Yes, He did.
Fashions the clay, the soul of honor, excuse me, I am today, and it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. Fashions His clay, a vessel of honor I am today, and it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for your attention. And I feel the sweet spirit in this place today. I hope you did as well. I didn't come in this way to try and discourage. I came this way that I might encourage you. And I hope that was an encouragement to you. It's time for us to move forward. Amen. And see what God might have for us. We stand in need of prayer for the church, prayer for one another. And just pray that the Lord would just continue to bless here at Calvary. If you'll turn to someone and tell them it's been good to see them in the house of the Lord. I'll see you back this evening at 5 o'clock where I'll try my best to give you a recipe for a revival. Thank you. You're dismissed. God bless you.